58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
Anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. Super Wild Card Weekend is in the books, Grant. You love it? You do love it. You love it.
No, I don't.
Yes, we do. Every time this weekend, if you're enjoying how much it is to be the legend, every time they brought up the phrase Super Wild Card Weekend, I hit this on clip every time. It's a beautiful thing.
I go for a warm-up, I come back down.
Good stuff. Yeah. We'll talk about Super Wild Card this week. Super Wild Card Weekend tonight on the show. Also, the Championship de Nacional.
Right. The Championship of the World.
That's right. Alabama, Ohio State will preview that. In fact, I think we'll do the preview first.
Yeah.
We get that. Make sure that we get that in before the game actually starts.
Right.
See how that goes. But anyway, Grant, a fun weekend of football here, culminating in tonight's national championship game, which by the time most of you hear this will be probably already over.
Right, and you want to tell me what happened in Pittsburgh, or should we?
That might require a whole other show before we can get into that. So let's, I don't, some of the games this weekend kind of defied some description. So it'll be interesting to kind of break these all down and most importantly, in the picks contest, I have forged out to a one-game lead.
In the made-up system that we should have done last year.
Well, we both
since you won last year, we're not doing it this
year. Well, we both went 2-4 in our picks, but however, I correctly did nail the over-unders at 2-3-1 to your 1-4-1.
Oh, who
so
cares?
Anyway, I take a one-point lead in the picks contest. But
in a made-up contest.
Well, it's not a made-up contest.
It is to a made-up contest.
Why is it made-up?
We didn't do it last year. No. When you win, also when I win, oh, no, we got to do a second contest.
Anyway.
This carries on.
Well, it's here, the national title game. Alabama, 8.5 points favorite leading in tonight's contest against the Ohio State University. Ohio State has lost a lot of guys tonight. And it sounds like they're...
The kicker's out.
I don't know, like they're going to bring some guy out of the stands to kick or whatever the heck's going on.
No. They have a five-star kicker as a backup, shocking. So.
And I don't know what their running back depth is like tonight. Right. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. well, hopefully Trey Sermon is able to carry the load.
Right.
Preach on in a saintly manner.
They got Master Teague. You'll be okay, right?
But I do predict that Alabama will win the toss and elect to kick ass, however. Right. So, as the game in Miami Gardens is about to begin here as we tape the show, I'm big on Alabama tonight. I'm big on Alabama in the over. Alabama, an 8.5-point favorite. You and I are tied at 17.
It's going to stay tied. Bama in the over.
Bama in the over?
It's staying tied.
So, are we going to have to...
There's going to be a tiebreaker of some sort.
We need a tiebreaker. So, I propose the tiebreaker of total points scored.
That's basically over under.
Well, no, I'm picking the over.
I'm picking Bama the over no matter what. So
yeah, but we should have to, in order to decide that, either that or we just call it a gentlemanly draw.
Well, who gets the Sun Patch Kids then?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, maybe though? That would mean we would share the shower Sour Patch Kids.
Can't split them.
Ooh. Can't split them?
Yeah, all of them or none of them. It's just the way it works.
So we can't have a gentleman's agreement to split it down the middle?
Nope.
Okay.
Someone's gotta win.
Then we have to have a tiebreaker. So,
okay.
As the defending champion, I will allow you to select the tiebreaker that we use.
I don't know what the tiebreaker is. Okay. Over under, how many touchdowns has Devontae Smith scored tonight? The over under is, I'm setting it at 2.
No, you have to have it as a half.
Okay, that's 2.5.
You think so? It's over 2. So you think it's okay? 2.5, so you're over under.
2.5, so over. Okay, under or over 2.5.
Well, but if we both take the same thing, it won't matter. Then there's no tiebreaker.
Then what do you do with that?
I would say total points scored.
Closest to.
Closest to the combined.
You have to price.
No, Price is Right rules are not in effect.
So just whoever's closer doesn't matter. Okay.
Correct.
Okay.
And as I am a defending champion, I will defer to you to make the first pick.
Okay. What's the total points? Like what's the over under? What's that set at?
I believe it was 75.
Okay.
So let me just check that to make sure that you don't accuse me of cheating later.
Let's set that as the baseline. So 75 is where you're at. So you can go above or below 75.
Well, yeah. It's 75 is the over-under. Okay. And by the way, Alabama is a 9.5-point favorite now, according to the line here that we picked before the show. So, 9.5-point. And Jalen Waddle is going to play tonight, by the way.
Yeah, they said that.
Okay. All right. So, if that helps.
I think there will be 78 total points scored.
78 total. Okay. All right. Well, all I have to do, I'm going 79. Because I think this is going to be like a 52-30 type of game. I think it's going to be
but you're setting the bar high though. I'm setting to begin with, but if it's lower than that, I'm good.
Yeah, well, that's all right. And I have a sneaking suspicion that's not going to be an issue.
Okay.
In this one, so we're going to go with we'll go with 79 points for me, 78 for you, and we'll see what happens.
Even if we're wrong, someone's going to win. So.
Right. That's why you do the tiebreaker.
Exactly. Even if we're wrong.
And the reason I think tonight we're going to see an offensive showcase, we're going to see Mac Jones, Najee Harris, we're going to see Devontae Smith, Jalen Waddle, we're going to see everybody.
Sermon, Olave, Fields.
Yeah, I don't know how good Fields is going to look tonight.
Right.
I'll be interested to see early going how he looks and if he's as mobile, agile, and hostile as he has been.
I want to see what Olave can do against Patrick Surtain II, because he's a
bitch's old man.
He's a lockdown defender, and if Olave can get separation from him, he'll be a really. This will be a high scoring game if he can get open consistently.
I got a hunch though that Olave. I mean, there's the thing with Alabama is they've got like three of him,
right?
I mean, right. Doesn't that the way it feels?
Right, I think you're right. And just think that they're just so dynamic on offense. It's unbelievable.
They really are. They really are dynamic on offense. And I got a suspicion that Alabama's not going to be stopped too often.
No, but that's where the red area becomes very crucial. If you can hold these teams to field goals, make the kickers win this game. Not the offenses, make the kickers bang into the upright consistently.
I think it's going to be key to short yardage situations, especially down near the goal line, to see if Alabama can be kept out of the end zone. I mean, they know they're going to hit their big plays.
Both teams are going to big plays.
Yeah, so. And no question about that. But I think some of these short yardage, like 3rd-and-1, 4th-and-1 type of scenarios are going to be pretty significant going into this one. You know, the one thing we didn't talk about too much about is either team's defense, obviously. But I just got a hunch when it comes to making stops.
Alabama can do it more
consistently. Alabama can do it a few more times.
Right, yeah. Ohio State, they still gave up a lot of points to Clemson. And Notre Dame did very little against Alabama. And Notre Dame's offense isn't too hard to figure out. It's run it some more. But because we want some more. We want some more. Yeah, right. But I just think that Alabama is just – they should be able to stop Ohio State a little bit more than Ohio State can stop Alabama in this game. This game on Midco Sports Network.
You can't do the Midco theme in the middle of the game. We'll get to basketball later.
By South Dakota Corn.
Really? Wow. Okay. But honestly, on either side of the ball, I think on both sides of the ball, I should say, I think Alabama has the edge. I think they have superior quarterback play. Honestly, I think Mac Jones probably has made himself into a first round draft pick.
Yeah.
And I didn't think anybody would say that.
I think he was ranked as the 32nd overall pick. So is he a first round talent? Yeah. But barely a first round talent. I think it comes down to who needs a quarterback and where he's picked. Hmm. Because it's just the players in the teens, in terms of who's going to be there. I like Mac Jones is one of them. There are four or five other quarterbacks that are better. They're better than him. But early second round where he would go on my best destination. Fields should be the second overall pick. It should be, but this is the Jets we're talking about. So.
Should be. Okay.
But this is the Jets. So.
That's fair.
You never know.
That's fair. Is there any chance in your mind that Ohio State can legitimately win this game?
Yeah, you have to establish your presence on the offensive line, defensive line. Don't let Najee Harris get consistent run. Don't let him get consistent running lanes to get big gains. You got to stop him to maybe 1 or 2 or 3 yards a pop, and not 16 or 17. Let you hurdle a guy, and then Trey Sermon. He's got to preach his way to first downs and deliver the good name to an Ohio State fan.
Okay. Fair enough. Amen indeed. Curious, just from what you're looking at, we'll kind of look at these for fun. There are certain prop bets in these games that are always fun to do. But like I said, the line is the total of 75.
Okay.
Which obviously would mean the first half over under seems logical to be at about 38.
I think we might see under in the first half and then really explode in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm thinking.
Logical. The money says Alabama 5.5 point favorite in the first half. I might have a tough time disagreeing with that.
Right.
So I think that might work out.
Right.
From there. I don't know in terms of tonight. Again, the accuracy level of the predictions, I think, is going to hinge on how well Justin Fields plays.
Right.
And I know Ohio State is second in the country at stopping the run, but their Achilles heel, their number 116 in pass defense.
Mm.
Gee, I wonder if Alabama might throw the ball a little bit.
A little bit? A lot.
Slightly a number. It could be bad. I mean, honestly, if they're going to have to keep up. And I don't see them being able to keep up.
Yeah, right. I don't think Ohio State can consistently stop them.
Yeah,
like, once every three possessions, they might stop them. But it's going to be hard, really hard to stop them.
And I'm not saying that either of these defenses is going to mistake anybody for the 85 Bears or 2000 Ravens here or whatever. I'm just saying Alabama, I think, when they need to get a stop, they'll be able to get a stop.
Mm-hmm.
One or two times. And is all they're really going to need to get some separation. And I think it's going to be like a little bit like that Florida game where they get out to enough of a lead where they'll score. And
where it's like if Florida could get a stop, they could win. Could never get it. That offense for Bama is just that dynamic.
Right. And on the other side, if you figure Ole Miss hung 48 on,
Les Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
He knows the secret sauce of the Bama defense.
Right. And then Florida, of course, like you said, scored 46. So we're not talking about anything huge here. We've got, I don't see on this unit there's quite as many studs for Alabama. Dylan Moses, the linebacker.
Patrick Surtain, the second.
Patrick Surtain, certainly the name a lot of people recognize.
I mean, both these defenses have a lot of, let's say, big names, but both units work so well that it doesn't matter who's there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. I was done. You're going.
How healthy is Fields, do you think, tonight? I mean, you saw the warm-ups a little bit.
He looked good to me. He looks 95% healed, in my opinion. I don't think he's fully healthy, but he's got extra padding. He's got everything he needs to get through this game. If he doesn't take one wrong shot, I think he'll be okay.
Okay.
Right.
You remember the last time these two teams met? This is 2014. And then some guy named Ezekiel Elliott.
He's pretty good.
Had a good night. And Cardale Jones.
Cardale.
He was a big sucker back then, too. Cardale.
Yeah, they got that Michael Thomas, and also the receiver. He's pretty good.
Yeah. And by the time you hear this, it may be a little late to lay down a bet. But interestingly enough, the underdogs, 11-9 against the spread in the college football playoff years. So just so you know. Could be the case this year,
maybe,
but 5-1 against the spread in the championship game as well. too. So the over has gone 5-1 in the first six title games. So I'm just saying that that could be what happens here. We'll see what happens. But anyway, that's the national title game. By the time, like I said, by the time you guys hear this, more than likely will be over or underway. But that's who we're on the record at. For the record, again, we're on Alabama minus the 9.5 and the over on the 75. And for the tiebreaker, Legend has gone to 78. I've gone to 79. So we'll see what happens in the ceremonial awarding of the Sour Patch Kids second annual Legend and Llama Bowl Predictions Contest. Will be officially announced on Thursday. Well, if we get a sponsor that was shorter, that would probably help.
Yeah, come on, somebody.
You know, whatever. So, with that, now that the college game is will be underway shortly here, but before we do that, we, of course, need to talk about Super Wild Card Weekend in the National Football League. We'll take the games in the order that they were played this weekend. And
Buffalo and Indianapolis.
Yeah, we'll start with Buffalo.
They looked unimpressive.
That was a good word I was going to use. Bills 27, Colts 24. The Bills, a 6.5-point favorite, do not cover. The over-under is a push at 51. So that was interesting. The Bills look like a team to me that did just enough to win.
Like the city of Buffalo, do just enough?
It was just enough. And I guess, I don't know if that makes me uncomfortable or not.
It does to me. I don't think Buffalo can, you know, they're supposed to hang with Kansas City. They can play 27.
Who?
They're supposed to contend with Kansas City.
Kansas! You gotta say it.
No, I do not. Okay. This isn't like Alabama. They don't deserve it.
Very nice.
But they don't look like a team that can contend with Kansas City. They only put up 27 points against the Colts. I think the Chiefs put up at least 30 against the Colts. Buffalo, to me, they rely on Diggs. They rely on him so much that sometimes you just kind of find other options. And the running game hasn't been there, and it hasn't been there for a while. And Cole Beasley is your second option. You don't have a third receiver. I mean, do they have a third receiver to you?
Does Buffalo have a third receiver?
I couldn't even name their third receiver.
Well, I'll tell you this. Gabriel Davis is the third receiver, and he made two catches in that one drive that were huge towards the end of the first half.
Right, no, you're right, right.
So Diggs, Cole Beasley, and Davis, that's your three. Outside of that, you know, John Brown's been hurt, and he did not. He was targeted a couple of times but didn't catch any passes. Dawson Knox, my favorite tight end name in the league, catching the shot put from Josh Allen to score I think that was the first touchdown of the game.
Yeah.
But again, Buffalo just doesn't run the ball very much. And in a game like this where you need to move the chains and keep the clock going, it was weird because they had a 24-10 lead in this game.
Right.
And it almost all came back to bite them.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the Colts did give them opportunities, I think, in certain situations that really came back to bite them. Nerdo missed the field goal, unfortunately.
Which is the margin of defeat, 3 points.
Yeah, and that was a big miss because the Colts had come out, and it was 14-10 at the half. The Bills come out, get a field goal to go up 7. And then there you go with that, one of those, just mind-numbing 14-play, 60-yard drives. 7 minutes go off the clock, and Nerdo uprights it from 33 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Can't miss those kicks.
No, I think it's where the Colts... I think they're a quarterback. Rivers is okay, but he's on the way down, and he's almost near retirement. He goes to his 11 kids. I think he just needs retirement. They need a new quarterback. If I'm the Colts, go to Philly and say, can we have Carson yet? If you want to keep Jalen, we'll take Carson. Because it just when Reich was in Philly, Wentz played so well, and when he left, Wentz hasn't played nowhere near as good, The Colts are a quarterback away from doing something really special.
As long as we're on the topic that you brought up, let's bring that up now so we don't forget to talk about it later. Talking about Carson Wentz, Doug Peterson was let go today. And although it was the typical statement where you see that it's the mutual parting of the ways, I think that last game, I think that hurt him.
Yeah, I think it did too. it's not the fourth preseason game, man. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl. You know, it's just like, it wasn't necessary to do that, and it cost you your job. So I hope you like testing Nate Sudfeld for a little bit.
The rumor is that Adam Gase is being looked at as the Eagles' next coach because of his quarterback wizardry. You know,
my God.
And then it could be a situation where the teams wind up literally swapping head coaches. It may be the case because the Jets are seriously interested.
So they must be traded coaches. But
apparently he's interested in Doug Peterson very much, so that'll prove interesting to me. See if that goes out. But one of the spots, of course, we talked about with Wentz was the Colts and what he could do there. Philip Rivers, non-committal after the game, was not, you know, open about talking about retirement, but sources from within, you know, not Adam Schefter level sources. Adam Schefter, and I'm telling you, I do not know whether he will be back for another season. I don't know if he's coming back, but if you're Rivers, I'm not sure. I think this is about as good as it gets, don't you?
Yeah, I think with Rivers, his opportunity to win a championship passed 15 years ago. And then when
I don't think it was that long ago, but okay.
Well, those Chargers teams, that was a while ago with LT and Lights Out Merriman. I mean, they were a great team, but that was a while ago.
Was a while ago.
And it's just, we're past that. It's just, the Colts, I just think they're just a couple pieces away. I think they need their secondary isn't as strong. I mean, Xavier really gets injured every third play. So, I mean, every game that the Colts have, you point them to the sideline, there's Rhodes like, oh, my hand here, oh, my, you know, this. And it's like, man up, dude. That's what the Vikings got rid of you.
Yeah. I think the Colts are still maybe one or two offensive weapons away, and one of them might be a quarterback from really progressing past this point. This is as good as I think.
Maybe
a
receiver,
but
I mean, the receivers are pretty good. I don't think the receivers are horrible. But
I was talking to you during the game about how impressed I was watching Michael Pittman Jr. Out there.
He's a big boy.
But Pascal, I mean, T.Y. Hilton's old.
He's not old. He's just on the decline.
He's old. Zach Pascal triangling his way towards, had to get that in.
Of course
he did. But, guys like that, they're not going to win you Super Bowls.
No.
They need an elite offensive talent. And right now, it's a collection of very good offensive talent.
Would you trade for Julio Jones?
What am I going to trade?
I don't know. I mean, you need a deep threat receiver, and you don't got one right now.
They have more big-bodied guys instead of the home run hitters. Right. But then again, I don't think Rivers can throw it that far either.
I mean, it looks like he's throwing a shot put when he's throwing a football. I mean, it looks like his motion's changed.
Well, one thing Rivers does really well is the arm angles.
And he's got good arm angles, that's right.
And you have to adjust. And let's not forget the Bills the Colts rolled up almost 500 yards in this game.
Right.
It's not like they were struggling to move the football. And neither team had that many penalties. There were no turnovers. The Colts did everything right except make a field goal. And that was really the undoing.
I mean, they did well at the end of the game. I think their clock management was a little piss poor at the end of that
And, of course, then we should talk at the end, of course. They really should have never had the ball at the end anyway because of that fumble, the fumble that wasn't a fumble.
Right.
And that was a little weird. Wouldn't it have been a bad thing, though, if that had happened? I mean, if that fumble when Allen got sacked, and Darrell Williams recovered it. It was like, oof.
If the Colts pick that up, they might go in for a winning score. Yeah. So it's a major turning point that they couldn't get their hands on. It was there. They were just short of pulling off an upset.
Right.
But
not to be.
Buffalo moves on.
So Buffalo will move on as they move to 14-3 on the year, and the Colts end their season at 11-6. Saturday afternoon, again, and probably a game result that I wasn't totally shocked by, but given the circumstances, I'm surprised that these guys are moving on.
Hit that horn! Hit that horn! Gotta get a new horn!
That's a winning horn.
Well, what happened is they got a new starting quarterback during the game.
And his name is Jared Goff?
And the new boss, same as the old boss, John Wolford, got destroyed.
Yeah. Neck brace, hospital gone.
And then all of a sudden it's like, well,
it's Jared Goff.
Like, and the Rams turn Cam Akers into a, you know, just rolling those
right,
chains.
Right?
He rushes for 131 yards and a touchdown. And the Rams go into Seattle
and
upset the Seahawks 30-20.
But we've said this multiple times. One score games, they don't know how to play in a game where if they're behind, it just seems like, oh, they're comfortable playing from behind. Well, this isn't quite, you know, one score games against the Cardinals. This is actually a team that can beat you. And the Rams are still a bad matchup for Seattle. I don't know what it is, but it just seems like that Aaron Donald and that defensive line of the Rams, it's better than you think it is. It's not just Aaron Donald. They've got guys around.
Yeah, he didn't play for most of the second half.
Yeah, most of the fourth quarter because he couldn't get his breath back or something. But it's just the guys, they're deeper on defense than you think. It's not just Ramsey and Donald. They've got guys at every level that the unsung heroes of that defense. And still, they got after Wilson all day long. All day, baby. All day.
They sacked him 5 times. Leonard Floyd had 2 of them. Donald had 2 of them. But let's also remember that the biggest play in the game came from Darius Williams, who picked Russell Wilson off.
Who picked off my least favorite play in football.
Yeah, and it was probably
Bad a ball as Wilson's throwing.
I think, though, let's not totally kill Wilson on that, because to read that play and pick it the way he did, that might be the defensive play of the year.
You knew the minute that Wilson, like, second, he was like, oh, no.
Yep.
He's like, oh, that's 6 the other way.
Because he had to fight through, I think it was Metcalf. And
he didn't fight through Metcalf. He just took it away from Metcalf.
Yeah, and then I don't remember if it was Tyler Lockett or whoever was on that side.
It was just Metcalf he had to get by. And Metcalf, if he had to go 10 more yards, Metcalf would have caught him.
Right.
I mean, seriously, he was right on his heels as he going to the end zone.
But as it was, Williams goes in and scores. Metcalf or Lockett never really, they weren't major factors in the game.
Metcalf
either
scored twice, but yeah. I mean, but Ramsey wasn't on in those situations. Ramsey owns DK Metcalf. I mean, DK's he's a great talent, but Ramsey shuts down any good.
Right,
good
but
receiver.
Let's not forget Metcalf had a couple of touchdowns in this game.
He did, but Ramsey wasn't on the coverage when it happened, so it wasn't.
But they were 2 of 14 on third down. Wilson was 11 for 27 for 174 yards. By far, I think, his worst game of the season.
Yeah, let Russ cook. I think he blew up the kitchen with that performance. I mean,
yeah.
We were dubbing him the MVP for the first half of the season. I never bought into that because I'm like, the second half of seasons, Seattle just doesn't play as well. And they play one score games the entire season.
What?
Nobody says that because it's Seattle and, oh my God, Russell Wilson, look at him go. And it's just like, there are just times they just don't look good. It catches up with them in the playoffs.
What's speaking of catching up, though, I think the Rams, we don't know if Donald's going to be full tilt. We don't know if Cooper Kupp, who was grabbing his knee at the end of the game, not sure if he is going to be a factor in next week's game either. We have no idea if Wolford is going to be ready to play. Or if Goff's
thumb. I think Goff will be back.
I think Goff's going to have to play, and that's not exactly an appealing thing to go in.
But now he's 3 weeks off the surgery by then. So I think his thumb will be better. I don't know if he's 100%,
but
he'll be close.
You're still running around Lambeau in 20-degree weather with a bad thumb. They're going to need another game. Now, again, we've talked about this with the Packers before, and we'll get into it more when we preview the matchups on Thursday. But you know that the Rams' game plan is going to be to run, and run it some more.
Absolutely. I think that can't make what the Rams should do. I've said this, follow the Vikings' game plan to beat them. Run the ball, play the screen game, dump it off short. You have the receiver. You got Bob Woods, not Robert Woods.
Possess the ball.
You just play keep away from Aaron Rodgers. I know Goff doesn't want to do that, but you know what? You want to win it. It's playoff time. Keep it away from Aaron Rodgers, having one of his best seasons of his career at age 35, 36, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, on defense, pressure him. I know Rodgers likes to run around in the pocket and make some great throws. But you got Rams on the outside. Your secondary is pretty good. Keep him in the pocket. You'll be all right.
Rams had a very balanced attack.
They did.
They threw for 169, rushed for 164. Other major thing, though, I mean, in addition to Seattle with their 2 turnovers, 9 penalties, and they're not a very disciplined football team.
That's the truth.
And their offensive line needs some serious work in the offseason.
Yeah,
and it's never really been a strength of a Pete Carroll
team.
That's
what I was going to say.
they've been able to run the ball well in the past, but at some point...
It was just because they had a generational talent at a running back.
Yeah.
Like, Marshawn Lynch was the man, and he could make any offensive line look great.
Appreciate you.
Take care of y'all chicken. But,
and get your protein bowl.
But Chris Carson ain't Marshawn Lynch. I mean, Chris Carson's good, but he ain't no Marshawn Lynch.
Honestly, this is one of the games where Seattle's running game was better.
Right.
Carson had 77 yards, but Wilson had 50. And
yeah.
Carlos Hyde was never a factor. I feel like they just kind of plug backs in there and see what they can do.
I feel like their offense always resorts back to have Russell Wilson do everything. And it doesn't work. And it's like LeBron in the playoffs with the Cavs in the late 2000s. It ain't working consistently.
Yeah, not consistently.
You can't play ISO ball for 48 minutes and expect to win.
Not enough to win a Super Bowl.
Exactly. The reason they won the first one, they had an unbelievable defense.
Unbelievable.
They had a great defense and a great running game. And that's what win championships, a great running game to go with a great defense, but they haven't had it since then.
The nightcap Saturday night, Tampa Bay defeats the Washington football team 31-23.
And it wasn't that close.
Bucks did not cover, and they did hit the over at 54. Bucks are going to have to play better than that to advance, but they played well enough to win against a Washington team that frankly got some breaks. Had Taylor Heinicke play nice.
He played pretty
game.
Well. He played as well as he could play for guys on the practice squad the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
It does help him. The Bucks, I think they're finally being what we thought they were going to be at the beginning of the year.
They are who we thought they were.
They are who we thought they were. They're finally getting into what their offense is. It's Brown, Evans, Godwin. Ronald Jones should be back this week against New Orleans. Don't know. He might be a game time decision, but. The running game, they still got Leonard Fournette. They'll be just fine on the offense, and they're getting Devin White back. I think they'll be just fine when we're going into New Orleans.
Tom Brady becomes the oldest player to throw a touchdown pass in a playoff game. 43 years, 159 days. Passing Grandpa Loudmouth's favorite, George Blanda, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, did you see that side-by-side picture of Brady with Blanda? In the game, they're both 43 years old. Brady looks 23 in that picture.
Blanda looks like he's a 53-year-old retiree.
Blanda looks like he'd had a few whiskeys before he went out on the field, and maybe a cigar, perhaps.
Ken Stabler after Ken Stabler.
That's what it kind of looked like to me. Kind of crazy there, but again, as you said, let's give credit to
Heinicke did as well as you guys, as well as you.
Taylor Heinicke, who. You know, we joke about we got to love our former FCS quarterbacks from Old Dominion.
And former Viking quarterbacks.
And former Viking. You know, I remember, I had forgotten about the incident where he kicked the door, kicked the door with the hand, or kicked the door with his foot, or with his hand?
Kicked the door with his hand, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think that happened. But,
yeah, I don't remember that one.
But that's why he got, that's why he wound up off the practice squad, because he got hurt, and who knows?
Washington did what they did the best they could against Brady and the Bucks, and you know it fell short. And if you're a Washington fan, you have nothing to be ashamed of with how you played. I mean,
no, to finish 7-10 and be in a playoff team with that kind of ragtag roster that they have.
Who's the rookie of the year? Chase Young or Jeremy Chin?
Oh, Chase Young. No question.
Yeah, Chase Young.
No question.
Chase Young. The defensive line did a great job, but you know what? You lost to the Bucks, and there's nothing to be ashamed of in that. So
not at all. And I think the other thing that the Washington team has to look forward to is I think they've got something to build around.
Right.
And it may not be with Heinicke, but they've got McLaurin, they've got Gibson, they've been banged up at a lot of positions. Logan Thomas is a nice player. They just don't have enough offense to really threaten anybody.
They need a
draft
and a free agency to really get going.
But I thought their defense, you know, 507 yards they gave up, and I expected, I guess, for their defense to hold up better.
Right. But I just think get their secondary better. You have a great defensive line. Pick up the linebackers. They'll be just fine.
Okay. So that was the Saturday slate. We moved on to Sunday, and this is the only game that you and I had any difference of opinion on in terms of over-under.
Right, but that was it.
Ravens win at 20-13. Ravens do cover the 3.5. However, I did take the under as opposed to you taking the over. And for the first part of this game, it actually looked like Tennessee was going to literally run away with it.
Yeah,
the Titans go up.
Nothing out the gate. Yeah. It just looked like that they were about ready to just go off on the Ravens. But, I mean, Lamar threw a bad pick, and you're like, here we go again with the Ravens against Tennessee. Tennessee's going to bully them again. But they're resilient. They fought their way back. They did everything they could to get back in that game and eventually come in with a win.
Yep. I mean, the Titans go and get the 10-yard TD for A.J. Brown. Malcolm Butler picks off the pass you mentioned, sets up a Gostkowski field goal, and then it's third down and I think nine.
Third and nine at midfield.
And
he takes it to the crib.
Lamar Jackson, who's got the fastest legs in the league.
He better have a rocket up his ass. Yeah.
Now, I'll say this, and I am 8-1 shit guy, and to me, now everybody, you know, today is having a big, you know, about Lamar, you know, winning his first playoff game.
Multiple playoff games.
Now, he's already now at the stage now where they were last year. He's gotten back to where he was last year.
Right.
Okay, he got to the divisional round. Now, can he take it to that next step?
Can you go to Orchard Park and win? That's your next question.
And again, we'll talk more about that as the Thursday when we preview the divisional round. I'm not sold totally.
I'm not sold on either team
on that. Let me just, though, go back to the Titans since their season's over.
Derrick Henry was shut down. I think they're very one-dimensional at times. I think they think, oh, we can give it to Derrick Henry anytime we want, and it's going to work. But Derrick Henry is like he's a bigger version of Adrian Peterson.
18 carries, 40 yards. The long play he had on the day was 8 yards.
Right.
Can't do it. You can't win.
I think he's a bigger version of Adrian Peterson. You like him so much, you give him the ball.
Love him so damn much.
You give him the ball as many times as you can to see if he can just get it going. He just couldn't get it going. It's just, if it wasn't for the not a push off in the end zone by AJ Brown for a touchdown, they really would have gotten hammered in that game. I mean, they were really out of it the entire game after that 10-0 lead.
Let's also talk about a scenario at the end of the game. It's 4th down and 2 at the Ravens 40. 10 minutes to go. 17-13. Mike Vrabel punts.
How much time's left? 10 minutes?
10 minutes to go.
Then punt it.
4th and 2, Baltimore 40. You are down 4. You had 1st and 10 at the Baltimore 48, and then you went incomplete pass, on 2nd and 3rd down. 4th and 2 at the 40. I go, that punt, and you know what the thing about the punt is? It was punted 25 yards to the 15-yard line. Honestly, I
don't think it's just that. It's the play calling after that. And I know Arthur Smith's trying to get a head coaching job, and I get it, but that's not great play calling.
You've got 2nd and 2 at the 40, and you know at that point
and you can't
in the
get
game,
one damn yard.
Only get 2 damn yards, but most importantly, even if you can go and run the ball, get your first down, and
it's
get into
Derrick
field goal.
Henry, it doesn't matter if it's his first carry or his 10th carry.
And it'll probably one more first down probably at least gets you into sniffing distance of a field goal, which at that point is still a viable play when you're down 4.
Right, with 10 minutes to go, yeah.
Right, and when you kick that field goal, then you're only down 1 with, let's say, 7-8 minutes to go.
Right.
If you don't get any more yardage on that drive.
Right.
Seems like it makes sense to me.
Yep. It just seems like that the Titans got a little complacent with, it's Derrick Henry. We can get 2 yards with Derrick Henry. Right. Instead, they're like, but since the Ravens were shutting them down the whole game, it's like, maybe we should pass the ball a little bit more. Mm-hmm. But you don't have A.J. Brown's good. Corey Davis has had a great year.
And he didn't get to play at the end. He was hurting on every go.
Right. But if he was healthy, they would have found a way to get him the ball at some point. So, but you just it just differs that it's Derrick Henry.
I'll get to this later too. But these 4th and 2s and 4th and 1s in these games where these coaches are punting, they're so aggressive on the rest of the field. And all of a sudden, we saw a situation where Vrabel and later Mike Tomlin did the same thing, where you got these 4th downs, your team is down, and you're in a punting situation on 4th down with less than 2 yards to go.
But I do get the way that momentum swings. The momentum isn't on your side. You might pick up a little, but Ravens are going to gain a lot of momentum if you don't pick up that 4th down. Unlike the,
they went down and scored on the next series anyway.
Unlike the Steelers, they had momentum. Well, they should have gone for that one.
Maybe.
But
we'll see. So the Bills will get the Ravens in the next round, and that will be an entertaining football game, to say the least, with two running quarterbacks. And, yeah, that'll be fun to watch. That's Lamar's true ain't one shit game is right. Coming up here.
Can you beat Josh Allen in the playoff game?
Right. Well, we move to the Slime Bowl.
The Bears and Saints.
Which was going to be an episode of this. This is Double Dare music from the 1980s from Nickelodeon. Remember Double Dare? No, you don't remember Double Dare. This is the game where they'd, you know, try to find the flag up a big nose of snot and run the obstacle course and physical challenges and all this stuff. No? Okay. We'll go with something a little more. This is, and you won't remember this either, but the old people that are listening to this show. This is from the old You Can't Do That on Television show, which was a big Nickelodeon staple. You have no idea what this show. This is a show where they slime people. Wait for it. There you go. See? No?
No.
Okay, we'll go back. We'll go back to what's more familiar to you, how they really, you know, anybody in the Nickelodeon now, of course, we have to make sure that we do this, because that's the way this works. If I could get the media to play.
Are y'all ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain!
I can't hear you!
Aye, aye, Captain!
Oh! Who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
SpongeBob SquarePants!
Absorbent in yellow and porous is he?
SpongeBob
SquarePants! Bear Saints. Nickelodeon.
Oh, God.
Phenomenal.
F-bombs dropped on
Cordell Patterson swearing on live television with all the Nickelodeon families. Forcing mommy to explain why Cordell Patterson, why the gentleman wearing 84, decided to use a word that rhymes with duck. Wait for it. And that was interesting, to say the least. I always kind of wondered what they would do in that situation if something like that happened, but
I don't think they envisioned it happening.
I give mad props to CBS and Nickelodeon for trying this
out. I like
out.
Nickelodeon, like, they just paint over the CBS graphics. They just, like, it's all CBS graphics just painting over the Nickelodeon colors.
And, of course, the slime cannons
in
the end
zone. Yeah, those are great.
Grant, you and I actually, we started out the game watching just to see. And, first of all, let's give props to Iron Eagles kid Noah.
That's a good...
Dead ringer.
Yeah, he's good.
For... his dad.
Nate Burleson's the perfect color guy because he's childish enough to do that.
Nate Burleson was like, he said that every first down was like a homework assignment in the red zone was the test.
Right.
I'm like, I love this. He talked about how being tackled felt like getting pushed down the stairs. He was talking about going to the bathroom and sometimes you just have to hold it on the sidelines. Really interesting ways of conveying. And it didn't feel like they were getting dumbed down for the kids.
Right.
It felt like something like natural questions. And I was interested to read today what a lot of people thought of it. And I'm curious, I didn't get a ton of responses.
I know Rich Eisen liked it.
Yeah, well, and honestly, we did too. I mean, we spent more time watching the Nickelodeon
broadcast.
I didn't
watch the whole second half.
No, part of it was because the game was so shitty that it really wouldn't have mattered.
Well, it's like... which game they put on Nickel? Oh, I got it. The Bears. That's the best game.
Well, and it was funny because, like, for example, they had like Alvin Kamara with Alvin and the Chipmunks.
No, but the best thing was Mitch Trubisky won the MVP Nickelodeon Valuable Player Award.
Yeah.
Of course, people go to Wikipedia page and add that on to his Wikipedia, like, you know, Pro Bowler in 2017
pathetic.
And the MVP award. But of course, Sean Payton said, if I win, I'll get slimed. And, of course, he was slimed after the game. While wearing, like, a nice pair of Jordans, like, what are you doing, dude?
Well, I think he's got a contract. I think he can get a few pairs if he wants.
Right, but it's don't wear a good pair of Jordans.
What was the other line in that that he had in there? Oh, the other line that Burleson had was he said, Taysom Hill is like the kid at recess who can do every play.
His first pick for everything, dodgeball, basketball.
Which, of course, then Hill promptly goes out and throws a tipped interception right after he says that. I was unimpressed thoroughly with the Saints in this game.
Yeah,
with their offense.
Yeah, they looked meh. It's just funny when you
thank
not,
God for Nickelodeon because otherwise this game would have been a complete
disaster. When you're not playing a decimated Vikings defense look at Alvin Kamara did. Didn't do a lot.
The Bears hung around.
They had a lot of breaks in that game, and
they still couldn't. Had the wide open touchdown pass.
Dropped it. Nikolai Meansman of that.
So. I'm not sure Trubisky could throw a ball any better than that, and it absolutely got dropped.
The best boys ever thrown. They still couldn't.
Perhaps it was the SpongeBob icon in the middle of the goalpost that caused a missed kick.
Yeah,
we had problems with the, the Bears just not being able to put drives together. And the Saints really wound up in the end. They gave up that meaningless touchdown to Jimmy Graham, and it just didn't look real crisp. And
no.
I think the Saints are going to be lucky to win with a performance like that against the Bucks, they may not have to.
No. They're going to need more than that to beat Brady.
But remember, they've already kicked their ass twice.
It doesn't matter. It's Brady in the playoffs.
By the way, one meaningless cliche that you'll hear this week, oh, it's tough to beat a team three times in a week. Bullshit.
Well, are you sure?
It's bullshit because of the last 21 games series to go to the third game, the team that won the first two, 14-7 in the third game. That's two-thirds of the time the team that won the first two will win the third game.
Okay.
So, data says cliches are bullshit. Just remember that when you're betting and drinking this weekend when you're coming up. Again, 14 out of 21, it's happened when they play the third time in the season.
This is different. This is Brady in the playoffs. This isn't just
on the road.
Nobody's there.
Just saying.
Every game is a neutral site game this year.
We don't.
There is no such thing as.
I got a sneaking. We're not doing the picks right now. But I picked Tampa Bay to go to the Super Bowl. I kind of have to stay with that.
I picked Tampa Bay regardless. I nothing would warm my heart more than sending Breeze out into retirement with a playoff loss.
And it sounds like he will because the cap situation for New Orleans is so bad next year. I mean, they're literally almost like $100 million cap problem.
I mean, this is their last hurrah. I mean, their Super Bowl window is closing by the week. They got to get through that door now.
Well, if it's closing, it's unfortunate because they're probably only at best the fourth best team in the league.
Right. And I think they have a pretty solid defense. But it's Breeze. Can he throw a ball more than 20 yards downfield?
No, he
just can't.
And can't do it.
Michael Thomas is open downfield. Good luck getting the ball to him, Drew, because you can't get it there. So I just think that it's just like the way Breeze has been the last 5 years of his career. End of the season, into the playoffs, he just doesn't look the same. Even though he had 6 weeks off with his ribs. He just doesn't look like the same quarterback in January than he does in October.
And then the Sunday night. If you blinked, if you went and put the kids to bed in the first quarter and sat back down.
A bedtime story.
It was 28-0. The first snap of the game. And the only Marquise Pouncey snaps it over Ben Roethlisberger.
A veteran Pro Bowl center, mind you.
With a veteran Pro Bowl quarterback.
With a 6'5 quarterback behind him.
Pops it over his head. The ball lands on the 1 yard line where
Recover the damn fumble, man.
Where Roethlisberger and Pouncey both look at each other like, I got it, you take it.
No, it was James Conner. He's like,
Conner, right.
No, Roethlisberger doesn't even dive. He's like, no, James, you got this. And of course, does pick it up, rolls in the end zone, touchdown Browns.
And
14 seconds in, Carl Joseph
or whoever recovered the fumble.
Yeah, recovered.
And then it goes, what was it, punt, interception?
No, it's interception the next drive.
Yeah.
And if they go down and score again, and Landry scores on a 30-yard touchdown, you're like, pinch me, please, because this is real.
And honestly, it all went downhill from there. Although, again, they got it back to 35-23. And Pittsburgh,
fourth
down and one, and punts.
That's that
Mike Tomlin, Mr. Go for two guy, Mr. Go for gut guy, Mr. Tough guy.
That one you got to go for. It's fourth and one, you got all the momentum. Go for it.
I didn't understand that at all.
Right?
I really didn't understand that play at all. And worse yet, the Steelers continued to make strange decisions about when to go for two, when not to go for two.
They only got one of them, though.
It was really odd.
Like you said, chasing points. They were chasing points the entire game.
Well, it's tough when you're chasing 28 to start out.
It's like the football gods spotted the Browns 28 points and said, go win the game,
so,
and they did.
So Tomlin, of course, punts, and the Cleveland, being Cleveland, naturally goes all the way down the field and scores a touchdown on
that. Right, because that's what the Browns do.
So the same old Browns, according to Juju Smith-Schuster, that didn't quite work out as well as they were hoping for. Roethlisberger throws for 501 yards, but let's be honest, 400 of those yards were pretty much thrown after the game was, for all practical purposes, over.
Right.
So Roethlisberger goes for 501, four, he does the double quattro, the loudmouth sage, four TDs and four picks. However, which leads to disaster, as the Steelers will be on the watching the game on TV next week while the Browns
go to Kansas City.
Kansas City.
So here's your reward for beating your division rival. You get there with a death sentence to Kansas City.
No Kevin Stefanski on the sideline, of course, during the game. Mike Prefer evens his lifetime record at 1-1.
But Stefanski should be back on Thursday, is what Shefty, I think, reported today.
I have been hearing that that is accurate.
Okay.
So let's look at it there. So just to set the table, and we'll do this again more Thursday, but the early game is going to be Rams and Packers will be the early contest on Saturday. Also on Saturday, Ravens-Bills, that's the primetime game Saturday.
On NBC.
Browns-Chiefs, Buccaneers-Saints will be the
primetime.
Just to give you an idea of the odds makers here, Grant, you were pretty good at picking these last night. Packers are 6.5 over the Rams. Bills are 3 over the Ravens. Chiefs 10 over the Browns. I got a feeling that number will come down.
Yeah, that'll come down.
And then Saints 3 over the Bucks. So pick them for all practical purposes in that one. So should be an interesting divisional round as we go into the weekend next weekend. We will, of course, break that all down on Thursday. But we're down to the final eight. And no real big surprises. I think Rams' victory was a mild surprise.
Browns is a massive surprise.
The I don't know about massive.
No, I know. To me, it was because you knew
1-5 in their last six.
No, because you thought, you're like, they haven't won there in 18 years. I mean, seriously. It's just the Browns, it was 18 years since they won their last. Roethlisberger's 24-4, I think, against the Browns all the time. And it's just like, I didn't think they could do it. And it, because anytime the Browns get tortured in their life, there's a THE put in front of it. I thought it'd be the comeback for the Steelers. But they found a way to win it.
They did. Let's we'll shift gears away from football here then, again. We're going to talk a little Summit League hoops here.
There you go.
See what's going on here. Interesting developments in the NCAA men's basketball for the Bison, of course. Oops, excuse me. Two victories this weekend. Not exactly pretty victories.
No, but Omaha always plays them tough, so that's to be expected. But the women are playing fantastic right now.
But we'll get to the women in just a bit. But the men, I want to spend a minute on them. 80-66 on Saturday, and then 71-69 on Friday.
Should not have been that close.
4-0 as they go into the the first quarter of league play is now complete. I wonder, after watching them a little bit more now this last weekend, Grant, if you see anything that you like really jumps out at
Grant,
you.
Grant Nelson does to me. He said he was really good, and I watch him twice, and I'm like, damn, you're right. I mean, he is absolutely amazing. And just watching Griesel play point, I'm like, really? Him at point? It makes a lot more sense now that I watch it. And Cruiser, it took him 3 years, but he's become a really, really good player for them now.
Yeah, and Rocky used to think was just kind of that freaky step out and shoot 3-point guy who would run around and get some rebounds and stuff. The completeness, if I can use that word, of his game really.
And he still might come back this fall. So, yeah. I mean, you know, the Bison will be okay this year. I thought they might be rebuilding year. I think they're okay right now.
Bison and USD are tied us up the Summit at 4-0. South Dakota State's at 2-0. Oral Roberts splits with UND, which was a bit of a surprise. So they're at 3-1. The Squawks are 2-2. The Ruse from UMKC at 1-3. Western has lost all four.
Of course,
and then
they did.
Denver and Omaha with those early season sweeps losses. So Bison's hitting well again. The schedule is favorable. UND week coming up this weekend.
Yep.
So that'll be fun to watch. And then the women's side, as you said,
they're rolling right now.
They are, and they've got the same challenge, though, that the men do, and that's that front-loaded schedule with the good teams.
No, but
sweating at the back.
But I think for this, for women, it's a good thing. They need to build confidence going into. I don't know if they go to Brookings or if they go to Vermillion, but
no, they're here this year.
They're both here. Okay, yeah. But it's
Bison beat Omaha 62-53 on Friday, and then Saturday they go 66-55. So
they played pretty. They played two solid games. Right. So I just they got confidence. Though.
Women are sitting just about where we.
Can you just give Jory the coach of the year now? I mean, seriously.
Coyotes at 4-0 in there. South Dakota State 2-0. Oral Roberts 2-0. The Bison sitting at 3-1. It's some years it's taken them the whole season to get three conference wins.
Right.
So that's a pretty big deal for
right.
them in the overall grand scheme of things. Hey, before we close up, just a note from today on the college football front that we didn't cover earlier, and not entirely surprising, but it will require some adjustments now. Indiana State, the Sycamores. Have opted out of the FCS season.
It makes sense to me because it's like they're not a playoff team. Nobody comes to their games. They play in a former minor league baseball stadium. And let's just they don't need to play this year. Let's just get them towards the fall season.
So, and of course they were on NDSU's schedule. That was going to be a road game.
Second game of the year.
So, the according to reporting from Dom Izzo tonight, the Summit League, or excuse me, the Valley will meet tomorrow, and they will readjust the schedule. For a few teams, Indiana State was not on their schedule. So, for example, Southern Illinois, who was not on NDSU's schedule, may hop onto that schedule. We'll see. It's obviously for NDSU, takes a pretty much a guaranteed win off the schedule.
Right.
Not that most of them are
Were they the only team that was off the schedule, or is there somebody else?
No, they're the only ones that have opted out so far.
No, but like, is there another Valley school that they're not that the Bison are playing this year? They could switch in.
Yes, because they were playing their normal eight. Southern Illinois was supposed to roll off the schedule. I don't know who the other one was. I guess I didn't look that far ahead.
I thought it was Illinois State, but I don't think it was.
No, I don't know if we were supposed to play them this year or not.
No, I don't know.
Well, but, you know, Indiana State, they're not bereft of football talent. We've seen Robert Tonyan catching passes all year.
They
cited that they couldn't play 19, they potentially could play 19 games, and they were all bent out of shape about that. And I'm like, really? That's what you're worried about? Really?
So playing what?
Potential playing 19 games. You play eight Valley games next this year, and you play 11 in the.
Boo-hoo. Play football.
I'm just saying.
Then don't field the team if we can't.
So
play.
Which Valley team am I missing here? So our schedule is Youngstown. Now it'll be open.
Right.
We do play Illinois State, okay. South Dakota, Missouri State, South Dakota State, Northern Iowa, North Dakota. Who are we missing in there?
I can't think off the top of my head.
Illinois.
Please put them back on the schedule.
We're missing the Leathernecks, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, please put them back on the schedule. Love to have them on the schedule.
I think Western Illinois being on the schedule is a gift.
Yeah, one gift and get another gift. That'd be good. But
maybe so. But the Leathernecks were not on NDSU's schedule. Who knows, maybe it's to be seen. They were also on Indiana State's, however, so I wonder if that will result in some additions to the game. So Southern Illinois and Western Illinois, the two teams that are not on NDSU's schedule, it seems a certainty that one of them would be added.
Right.
And my suspicion is that since Southern Illinois was supposed to play Indiana State the following week or something like that, and the Bison now I think they had an open week that week. It would seem to make logical sense for Southern Illinois to sweep into that.
Since the Bison went to Carbondale last year, you would think they would have to come back up here.
You would think so, but I think they're going to have to reevaluate the entire scheduling package now with this going on. So, but we're going to see this, and I'm sure that the NCAA playoff committee has said, too, that it's a minimum four games to qualify. So the Bison are still okay as long as they get to, you know, they're going to have to get to four, and that's
if
all.
If they get to four, they're the number one overall seed.
Right.
Okay? Just get to four.
And remember, the Bison also have the benefit of having one in the bank already, having beaten Central Arkansas. So that does count for this year.
Central Arkansas, they're eligible for the playoffs, and they played all their games in the fall.
Right.
They're eligible for the playoffs.
And that will be better for NDSU than not having played anybody.
I think they it's a 16-team format, so you have no idea. Is the Southland even playing football? I mean,
I have no idea. The championship game, by the way, will be on a Sunday this year. Sunday, May 16th or whatever. Wow, that is.
That's weird. So the season will start and end on a Sunday.
Right. So it'll start and end on a Sunday for the Bison anyway. So that's a little bit strange. Well, we are going to go and head out and watch national championship game here, right, and see how this all comes out. So get in touch with the show. Our email is legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendandloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @legendloudmouth. That's @legendloudmouth. And check out our website at legendandloudmouth.com. That's legendandloudmouth.com for links to our previous shows and why Coastal Carolina will forever and truly always suck. Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Snapchat @GrantLegend. Follow me on TikTok @GrantLegend. Follow us on Instagram @Legend_LoudmouthPod. DM us if you like to hate the show. We don't care. DM us, please, and subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Alabama has won the toss and elected to kick ass.
Yes,
so
they have.
We will see how that one goes. We will break it all down on the show on Thursday night. We'll review the national title game and preview a divisional playoff weekend for you, and talk Bison hoops as they look forward to a doubleheader weekend against the Fighting Squawks on the women's and the men's side. So plenty of things coming up. Also, we'll celebrate sound engineer Ben's birthday coming up this Friday. So join us then, won't you? It's the Legend and the Loudmouth. Good night, everybody.